Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com, radio.com app. My name is Will Pelagic, alongside Hugh Douglas. What's up, pal?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having a wonderful day.
You already got your workout in. You're already fresh.
Yeah, I did. You know what? It's funny. That's why I was just telling Abe, because Abe, you know, he's a little concerned about me when, you know, especially on these Sundays.
Yeah.
Because I like to take my time to get here. And he's like, yo, bro, where you at? I'm like, dog, these workouts are kind of getting at me a little bit. Because I've been trying to not so much do the cardio, but jump the rope, because I'm finding out that that's a little bit better workout for you. But, man, like, I'm trying to alternate between a heavy rope and like the speed rope.
Right.
Yeah, both of them, no joke.
It's because your boy Randy keeps on making you look like a slacker, because he...
Yeah, but see, Randy, this is the difference.
Yeah.
Randy doesn't lift weights. Randy just eats really, really well.
Yes.
And so he'll tell you in a heartbeat, he's a person now. He's not a football player. Randy Mack is just an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And
a media member.
Yeah, a member of the media. And so it's like, you know... he doesn't really get in the gym, but you know, I gotta kind of keep this thing right, because if I don't, then you know, people start to talk.
Well, it's good you got that workout in, because you're gonna be slinging some steak later.
Yes, with my man Alex Mack and Kevin Rathman, the chef Kevin Rathman. Everybody's excited about that. Hopefully, a lot of people come out there today and check that out. We're gonna be out there cooking steaks. I don't know how much I'm gonna eat though, because you know, I had a pizza last night, so you gotta kind of, you know, that was my cheat meal. So
yeah.
he did say something about keto. If you don't want to eat the bread, just eat the meat. So, yeah, I probably rock and roll with the meat a little bit.
As somebody who played in Philadelphia, how snobby were you about your cheesesteak when you were there?
You know what? Kevin Rathburn is a world-renowned chef.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and leave it in his hands. I'm not even worried.
Oh, no, you're not even going to touch the grill.
No. I'm going to leave it in his hands. I'm going to let him, you know, I'm confident that with his skill set, he'll be able to make one hell of a cheesesteak. Because the guys that making them on South Street and wherever else you go to choose to get your cheesesteak in Philadelphia, they don't have the pedigree that he has. So I'm not even worried about that.
Were you a Wiz or provolone guy?
I'm a Wiz guy.
See, so that's not the same.
Provolone is good too. Like it all depends. But I like the provolone on my roast beef sandwiches.
Right.
It's a roast beef spot in Philadelphia that the name escapes me, but it's in South Philly, and they have a good roast beef sandwich, and they got put the provolone on it. It's amazing. Yeah, I'm more of a Wiz guy.
Yeah, same here. Maybe he can do like almost like a gourmet type Wiz.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna be
something like that.
His own little flair on the cheesesteak, no question about
it. And you guys will be over at Howell Mill Road, the Walmart there, slinging those from 2 until 4.
Slinging cheesesteaks,
and that'll be happening here, of course, later on today. Go out and see Hugh from 2 until 4, Walmart, Howell Mill Road. Of course, it'll be all part of Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Two big games. The Titans and Chiefs, Packers and Niners. I know that we've been talking about this all week, Hugh, but it just seems to me like it's hard to pick against either of these home teams. Which of the road teams do you think has the better chance today?
I would say has a chance, but I still don't think it's going to win. I would definitely say the Tennessee Titans.
Just because of who they've beaten so far?
Yes, they've been road warriors. And we've seen something similar to this in the NFL when the Giants went on the road to get their Super Bowl title. So, yeah, we've seen something like this.
Yeah, Jets almost did that a couple of years ago, too. They beat Brady and Manning in the same postseason but ended up losing to Big Ben. You know, it's funny, in that particular game and matchup, we heard last week kind of – with Earl Thomas kind of talking some smack about Derrick Henry, Well, Kansas City Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark has kind of stepped in it too as well, saying this morning that he's really not that hard to tackle, he being Derrick Henry.
Man, listen.
I don't know why these guys continue to try and step in it, man.
Listen, this is the thing that I say about that. Give the man the respect that he's due, because this ain't like, listen. You know, who was it a couple years ago, Leonard Fournette, talked about how hard how the league wasn't that hard. Really hasn't been a huge factor in the NFL.
No.
Since he's made that statement. Man, listen, I understand that for a lot of young cats, you know, you're going to these big schools and everything, and you know, you play big-time competition and all that stuff every Saturday. I get it. I get how you might feel about it, but this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. Like, you're dealing with grown men who have 401Ks and kids that they have to take care of. They're not playing for the love of their alma mater.
No.
They're playing for the love of that paycheck.
They're paying for the
– a different animal.
The quan, as they said Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, all of that. So, you know, give everyone that's on this level, regardless to what they do, even the kickers, as much as I give grief to the kickers, give them respect that they're due, man.
Here's the quote from Frank Clark of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not hard to hit. He's just a big guy, 240, 245, 250. Honestly, he should be running harder at his weight and at that size. I don't see no difficulty in tackling him. He's just easy to me up front because I don't look at any running back like they can't be tackled. He's not one of the best guys at breaking tackles to me, honestly. That's what he said.
He's a bulldozer.
I was about to say, he's the first guy in NFL history to have 180 yards in three straight
weeks.
Give
him the respect. Well, you know what? They're going to find out who he is today. You know, it's funny. I have a similar story.
I mean, ready.
But it wasn't to the level of disrespect like that was.
Mm.
But I remember playing against Terrell Davis, first time playing against the Denver Broncos, and I remember seeing him on film and thinking to myself, and I remember saying, I'm like, I didn't think he was all that. I think he was good. I didn't think he was all that.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. He wasn't a Hall of Famer back then.
Yeah, I know.
But I told him, I was like, and I told him that. I think he came on the show one day and I said that, and I found out later that he was all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
And I gave him his props. I mean, it's one of those things, man, as a defender, you have that chip on your shoulder, no question about it, especially the D linemen and things of that nature. You got that chip on your shoulder.
Was he the hardest guy to tackle, or who was?
It was Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith almost tore my arm off.
Oh.
But I left that game. I left that game with a newfound respect for Terrell Davis, no question about it. Ran hard, played hard. You know, deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. He was all that in a bag. He was a special player, no question about that.
Did you ever have to play a player who was as built the way that Derrick Henry is? Because, again, he's such a – it's almost like he's almost built like a Cam Newton type guy.
Oh, no, he's built like a superhero.
Right.
Like, he's built like a Justice League member. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you look at the Justice League cartoons, he's kind of built like that. Green Lantern, who else? Hawkman or Superman or somebody like that. He's built like Captain Atom, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He's put together. Playing against a guy like that, I would say David Boston was one. He was one. Eddie George was another guy.
He's tall, yeah.
Man, just big. Like, dude, guys that are anomalies at their position, dude, give them the respect that they're due. He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, runs hard, is physical. And I'm going to tell you like this. He getting that secondary. The guys in the secondary aren't feeling the same way that Frank is feeling. Because you got to understand, you up on the line of scrimmage, you don't get to get the full steam ahead run that he's building up. Like, you know, he don't have that far to go. You know, you're on the D-line, he probably get a couple yards of steam before you get to tackle him. So you could probably it's easy to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, he getting that secondary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's some business decisions that are going to be made.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he's got some poundage on some of those guys.
Oh, yeah. And he's got a full head of steam, and cats are looking like, man, listen.
I don't want to be on the other side of no Mack truck.
Yeah. Man, listen, I ain't trying to hit this cat like that. And that's why you see a lot of guys try to cut him. And they cut him in a way so that it's almost like I'm telegraphing it. You know it's coming, but it's also for you to jump over me and make me look good, like make look like I put forth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most cats don't want that, man.
Well, plenty on that game later on today. Tennessee and Kansas City, of course, also on the Packer-Niner tete-a-tete between Handsome Jimmy and Aaron Rodgers. That, looking forward to that. Of course, you'll hear both of those games here on 92.9 The Game with pregame coverage at 2. We'll take you right up until that. Willie P. and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks get blown out by the Pistons last night. That was discouraging. And not only that, you know, they'd won the previous night. They'd run the previous night against San Antonio. First time they'd won there since 97, so they broke a long streak. And you thought, maybe this team's turning the corner. Not to be last night.
Yeah, but that's impossible. That's a tough road to hold for them. You know, you're talking about two wins in a row to go for that third one. Jeff Teague's coming back. I mean, I can't say it enough. And I know that they're professionals, but right, they're still a young professional team.
Right.
Probably the youngest team in the NBA. So that's tough. I get it. I understand that we're in a performance-based business.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand where people's frustration are, that where they lie with the Atlanta Hawks. But at the same time, it's a young team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young team. And for us to be upset that, you know, we're not going to get the AC to get dragged in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of amazing because that, I mean, that's kind of what was going to end up happening. We were going to probably get dragged in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that the learning curve between college football and the NFL is difficult, I'm not saying that it isn't difficult, but I think it's hard to really find a learning curve that's harder right now than college basketball to the NBA because of how young these kids are
as much as they play. Think about it like this. In a regular NFL season as a rookie, say we get into the season, you play your first game.
Mm-hmm.
You have a week to study film and correct your mistakes and get better progressively throughout the season.
Right.
In the NBA, it really doesn't work like that.
No.
You know, you might have a back-to-back. You might get a shoot-around. You might go and you might watch a little bit of the film of the game that you play.
And some of these back-to-backs are unfair, like road one day and then home the next and vice versa.
And I think the adjustment is far greater for a young NBA player as opposed to a young NFL player.
Yeah.
Because of the road, you know, being on the road so much and not being able to just settle in and become accustomed to the way things are going. You got to learn on the fly a lot quicker. You know, you got to be able to adjust a lot faster. And it's tougher for some guys. So I that's how I kind of look at it.
That's Hugh Douglas. I'm Will Polonjic. Willie and Hugh here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You see the fight last night?
No, I saw the highlights.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't pay for the fight.
Right?
Because I'd have been pissed.
Oh, well, so here's the thing.
But you know who called that?
Producer Abe.
Yeah, he called it Producer Abe.
It was funny. I found myself out at a place where the fight was on, and we stayed all the way till like the second to last fight, the Holly Holm fight. We left before that because I was kind of like you. I was like, I'm going to be really pissed if I stay this whole way and this thing doesn't even go beyond the first round.
It did.
It did not.
It did.
McGregor ends up getting the win and beats the Cowboy, and he's back on the come up, if you will. Plenty to get to here, 404-741-0929. Hit us up on the Sullivan Brothers Diamond text line. The Atlanta Braves had a very golden opportunity to fill two big slots this week, and they did not take it. What's next for them? Myself and Hugh will discuss that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Stone Mountain. It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Listen to Coach Lloyd Pierce every Thursday talking to me and my man John Frick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I've got to ask, did the Braves make you an offer at all? And can you share what that was? I mean, was it competitive in your opinion, or?
They ended up offering me late, like a day or so before. But, it just didn't work out. And unfortunately, because, you know, I really enjoyed my time there.
Do you think if the money, I know it's, you know, a what-if game, but if the money were competitive or the same, would you have thought about maybe staying in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, I think that was a good fit for me, and I feel very fortunate and blessed to just be able to put on, you know, the uniform that I grew up of the team watching, and it was a dream come true to be able to play there. It ultimately didn't end up working out the way that we wanted it to, and but at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking forward to being in Minnesota and hopefully making some big things happen there.
That's Josh Donaldson, the
very, now, very interest.
The now former Atlanta Brave. That was his conversation with WSB-TV, and we thank them for allowing us to share that. That tells, You know what that tells me, Hugh?
Yes. It
tells me the Braves didn't want him, or at least they didn't want him for the money that it was going to cost.
You know what? It's funny. I've kind of been through one of these when I was with the Eagles, and I ended up going to Jacksonville.
Right.
And what he said kind of resonated with me, how they came in late and offered him a contract. That speaks to me of a little bit of arrogance, you know, on his part
or the Braves?
On the Braves' part.
Okay.
On the Braves' part.
Yeah.
Because for you to get that, if you, like, the sentiment has been, or the way I felt, and this is me being a fan. This is not me hearing anybody in the Braves organization coming flat out and saying that they wanted to keep Josh Donaldson. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. It felt like that's what they wanted.
Right.
I mean, they didn't say that they didn't want him.
Right.
So it felt,
I think they had a price they wanted to play.
Yes. We all knew that.
Right.
We all knew that. But this is the problem that I have, because whether or not it was fabricated or justified, we were kind of led to believe in one way or another that they were in talks with him and he was potentially coming back. Am I wrong? Am I off base with that, Abe? Am I off base?
You're not wrong.
Am I off base? Well, you know, Abe, I got to check with Abe because, well, I'm not – see, now Abe's talking about, I've been telling you. I ain't talking about what you felt, Abe. I'm talking about what
was out
it
there.
Felt like what it felt like was in the atmosphere.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
It felt like what in the atmosphere that something potentially could get done. It felt like there was a chance that, you know, everybody was talking, everything was good. And there were even reports where it came down to two teams. It was the Braves and somebody else.
Nationals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the Nationals bowed out.
Yes.
Now, I know I'm not a dummy. And I know that there's a lot that goes into negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. But when I hear somebody say they came into negotiations late.
And the money wasn't close.
What the deuce? Like, we laid the game. Like, what the deuce? Like,
well, I think the Braves thought that they were operating from a position of power.
Yeah.
And they thought they were operating from a position of this is where he wanted to be. But you can't.
And he did.
But you can't act with that arrogance. You have to make it seem like that the guy is wanted. And here's the other thing, and this is something that Alex Anthopoulos said to season ticket holders Thursday morning. I know some people who were out there over at what is now called Truist Park.
Truist.
They were over at Truist Park, and he spoke to some season ticket holders. It was before the signing was official, so he couldn't comment specifically on it, but it gave me the impression, kind of like what I heard from Josh there, is that, you know, they wanted him, but
they wanted him at their number.
But they didn't feel like they needed him.
Yeah.
And that I think is a gross miscalculation of where I think they are, because they don't have a cleanup hitter now.
Well, I think that with that being said and them approaching it the way that they've approached it, that you have to look at either one or two things. Austin Riley is that guy. Or there's some works. Like, I'm going to go with a freakyism. Because Freaky kind of, you know, Freaky has been a sage, and he's been throwing stuff out there that, you know, it sounds a little off the wall, but it might, you know, it might have some validity to it. They already have a deal done with somebody else. That's what John feels like.
Well, that's the part of it that I think that you have to wonder about, because they're still waiting on the grievance hearing for Chris Bryant in Chicago.
Yes.
And you don't know whether he's going to be a free agent in 2 years or after this upcoming season. And there's also the Arenado rumors. The problem with Arenado is that not only is it a lot of money, but he also has an opt-out after the 2021 season.
Yes.
And a lot of people, a lot of teams have been wanting to make sure that they're willing, or he is willing, to give that opt-out up in order to basically have that long-term extension be part of the value of the deal. Otherwise, the Rockies won't be able to get the kind of haul back that would require a player of his nature being moved.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thing is this. You had I think you still have three big holes on this team. You have a hole at third base, you have a hole in the number four spot in your lineup, and I still think you need another veteran starter. I don't think you're going to get the
pitching.
Veteran. Yeah, I'm saying I don't think you're going to get that in the offseason. I think you're going to have to wait to the deadline to get that starter, to get a pitcher, because I just don't think that there's anybody out there that can fit into that role. And I also believe that the Braves want to put the onus on some of their young pitching to see if they can fill that role internally.
I would agree. And I also feel like, you know, we talk about a logjam of some of the young guys that are not coming up yet.
Yeah.
Like Pashian, guys like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they're hoping, and this is me speculating, they're hoping that Austin Riley fills the fourth hole for you and the third base role.
See,
or a two platoon at the third base role with him and Camargo.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to be that guy.
You don't know. But
it's a very, it's a what if, and I don't like playing what ifs in a situation in a situation with a team that I believe, if built properly, and if outside of that spot, they're built to win now. They're built to win today.
Okay, I'm not disputing that. But okay, look at it from the perspective of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah,
they've kind of stood pat in certain situations as far as the pitching was concerned when they went out, we got Keuchel.
Yeah,
during the middle part of the season. And even last year, before that, you know, going into the playoffs. And it was an exit that we wanted. This year, the same thing. But for them and Alex Anthopoulos being here, they're looking at it like they're a little bit ahead of schedule
right,
as far as their projection, their World Series projection.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least, in my estimation, I'm going off of the conversation that we had a couple years ago with the Braves brass till now, that's
right.
2 years ago. And,
right.
and I remember having the conversation, well, we had the conversation as a radio station, as a cluster, about how we want to go for it, but we don't want to mortgage our future.
Correct.
They've kind of stayed on par with that.
They have.
And for them, that was 2 years ago. So now you're talking about two playoff appearances in a short period of time. So they're looking at it like they're ahead of schedule. So in their mind,
but sometimes you have to account for the schedule changing.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
The schedule changed. I'm like
I agree.
They got to the playoffs, I think, way before anybody thought they would.
I agree.
Were.
I totally
2 years
agree.
Ago.
I agree. But for them, everything is playing with house money. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I'm not saying. I see what you're
saying. Because I see you getting a little. You know, you're getting a little hype. You're getting like Abe here. We talk about
baseball. I got it.
You get a little. You're like I'm a part of the management. I'm not. I'm just trying to tell.
No,
I'm looking at it from the perspective of how they're looking at it.
But I also feel like you can't sell that to this fan base.
Not now. No, you can't. Nobody's trying to hear it. But that's part
like
of the reason.
Like let's take an example from inside our city. The Hawks can sell that.
Yes.
The Hawks can sell that because
they're young.
They're very young. And their schedule, we probably thought that their schedule was further along this year than it might have been actually in reality. The Braves, while 2 years ago making the playoffs, you would have thought they were ahead of schedule. Even last year making the playoffs and winning the division, I think that surprised a lot of people in baseball.
And winning the division in the fashion that you wanted in, especially when you look at the way the season started.
Right.
Can you remember that? How everybody was vexed
yes.
at how the season started and how we didn't do this and that in the third, and yet and still we still won the NL
East. And not only that, but we had the division lead for the better part of three quarters of the season, like
yes.
from June, July on. We were up top.
Yes.
And we dominated the team that ended up winning the World Series.
Yes. That's the crazy thing about it. Now, I'm thinking from a management perspective. This is not my thinking, but
right.
from a management perspective,
no,
when
you
look at all of that.
I got you.
And you see the growth in a short period of time, you're still in a good spot. You got all your young players locked up.
Right.
Freddie Freeman.
And you got him locked up on the cheap.
On the cheap. And Freddie Freeman still got 2 years left on his deal.
Right.
So, like, your core.
Right.
Like, you got your core.
I got you.
So, like.
But I also feel like the reason why Freeman was so good last year was because of JD.
Yeah. But you still have you have enough money and you still have enough time to make some moves.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Randy Mack said earlier this week, I can't get upset about a pitch not being thrown yet. Or a home run hit. So we just got to wait and see.
About a half hour from now, we'll get back into the NFL conference title games. We want to see what you have to say on this as far as what price should the Braves pay.
We taking phone calls?
I don't know if we take phone calls. Do you want to take phone calls?
I don't know. I was just asking. I thought that's what we were doing.
No.
Everybody's looking at me like, whatever.
We just thought we were taking phone calls.
Well, let's just spit then.
We just spitting. That's how we roll on a Sunday. Willie P. and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What up, Snailville?
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show.
Listen to Will Carroll,
injury expert, every Thursday at 9:20
with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas
on 92.9 The Game.
Willie and Hugh on a Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com, radio.com app. Did you ever find a movie the other night?
You know what I ended up watching? What did I end up watching? I watched the Aaron Hernandez doc.
Why didn't you like it?
Because I felt like some of the aspects of the documentary were a little bit of a reach. I feel like they tried to shoehorn a lot of his personal life when they talk about him and his relationship with his old teammate.
Right.
That, to me, felt
like it didn't belong.
Staged.
Yeah.
It felt a little staged.
Yeah, it did.
And maybe, listen, I'm not, full disclosure, since it's Sunday and we know we're talking, I had a couple edibles and I was watching. Mm-hmm. So I was a little heightened. Mm. You know, my sensitivity was a little heightened.
You were focused.
Yes, but I remember listening to that and just listening to how he described it, and it felt real Hollywoodish.
Yeah,
it like when I listened to it, it just felt real Hollywoodish. Like it was really, and then his dad, when he would come and he would say stuff about it, I felt it was it was real Hollywoodish. Now, if they were experimenting when they were younger, that might be one thing, but the way you kind of sensationalized and glorified it in a way that, to me, it didn't feel like it was sincere.
Here's what made me uncomfortable. And I know that the Aaron stuff gets compared with the OJ stuff a lot because I think generationally this is kind of that particular thing. It wasn't as the height of what OJ was and how much it meant to so many people. But I felt like the way a lot of the OJ documentaries have been presented, it made it look very similar just because of the fact that I feel like there are a lot of these ancillary conspiracy theories that people are trying to, and nobody wants to point out why. Mm-hmm. They just want to present everything out there. And I just feel like you just get yourself kind of trapped in these rabbit holes with it.
And it kind of a little bit, I felt, me personally,
right,
that it diminished the CTE aspect or potential CTE aspect.
I was wondering how you felt
of
about
his,
that.
Of what he was going through. Man, listen, CTE is a subject that I'm sensitive about because per the NFL and per doctors, they don't know enough about it to know how it manifests itself in different people.
And you can't find out about it until
you're dead.
Dead. Yeah.
And this is the thing. You look at his lack of impulse control and – you know, we still don't know why he did what he did. Didn't really get into that. Don't know why he did what he did. And then you look at Antonio Brown's situation. And I'm using a parallel because when you look at the Aaron Hernandez story and some of the things that he did, and it's unexplained why he did it, and then you look at the Antonio Brown outburst.
You think it's
things of that nature.
You think it might be?
That's scary. Think about that for a minute, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen a meltdown like the one that Antonio's having. I know people are probably chiming in talking about, oh, he's a POS and all this stuff. All of that might be true.
Sure.
All of that might be true. I'm not disputing any of that. But when you see, like, I'd use myself as an example. When, you know, certain things happen in your life and your life takes a turn, and you're trying to get back on track, you handle yourself in a different way, like most people do. You handle yourself differently. You make sure that everything that you do after your misstep points you back into the right direction so you can get back on course. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like he's course corrected yet. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how many opportunities he's gotten, like, you know, it just feels like something is not registering with him.
How much do you think the Rosenhaus leaving maybe affects that course correction?
I don't think it does.
Really?
Because
still not enough?
I know Drew very, very well. He was my agent.
Right.
Drew is a ride or die agent. Mm-hmm. Drew's going to ride with you till the wheels fall off. And as you can see in that text message that he sent to Antonio Brown, where he told him, "This will go no further than me," he said this in the text message. "I still got your back, but I feel like you need to go talk to somebody."
Right.
"I'm going to still help you with your grievances with these other teams, but I'm not going to charge you." He said all of this. He said everything that you would think that a person that has your back would say to you. Mm-hmm. "Hey, man, just go get some help." And what does Antonio Brown go back and do? He posts a private conversation between him and his agent, a person who probably was the only person at that point that believed in you and had your back. And I understand, you know, it was a symbiotic relationship, you know, monetary, you know, he's his agent, whatever. But think about Drew Rosenhaus's track record as far as his clients are concerned,
mm-hmm.
and how he goes to the mat, regardless if they're right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
for each and every one of his clients. He's went to the mat for.
I mean, he had T.O.
Yes, he's went to the mat for them.
Right.
And he has their back. And I've had candid conversations with Drew when we've talked about finances, we've talked about life and things of that nature. And to a man, some of those conversations were hard to hear, but they were needed.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were needed conversations. And for you to be in a situation where you can't take the hard truth or you can't digest somebody trying to help you, that's telling.
I mean, Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown were as connected as the band on the Titanic and the ship going down.
Yes.
And I mean, that's I almost kind of felt like once the band stops playing, that means the lights are out.
Yes.
And I almost hope that this is what allows him to maybe, like you said, go get some help, go maybe try and see something.
I don't think so.
You don't think it's there?
No, because you have too many people. Like, you know,
I mean, who's left telling him what he's doing is sound?
The guy who was laughing in the video when he was cussing his daughter, when he's cussing out the mother of his children and calling the police names. Whoever that guy is, that's the guy that I can guarantee you that's with Antonio Brown right now, telling him, you know what, dog? F Drew Rosenhaus. He don't know what he's talking about. Dog, you got this. You got, you know, you're going to get another shot. The NFL needs you and yada, yada, yada. Like, he doesn't understand that we got a plethora, and yeah, I use that big old word, plethora, of young receivers coming out this year.
Right.
That are trying to make, a young hungry receivers that are going to be trying to make a name for themselves.
Well, again, I feel like the one thing that we didn't, I don't think we gave enough credit in foresight with this. You got to give a lot of credit to the Pittsburgh Steelers for putting up with that as long as they did.
I don't think it was this way. Everybody points to the Vontaze Burfict situation.
But no. I think that guy. Oh, you're talking about,
the hit.
You're talking about the hit.
I think everybody points to that. And when you look at it from that timeline, he progressively got worse.
Right.
Like, to be honest. No pun intended, not trying to be funny. But when you look at that, that's what a lot of people point to. They point to that hit, and then when everything started to spiral out of control.
Speaking of guys who are somewhat obtuse, Vontaze Burfict.
Obtuse. That's a big old word.
Oh, you used one.
Yes, I did. We got two big old words in about five minutes.
That's probably too many for this for this program. Willie and Hugh on a Sunday. I know I teased we were going to talk about Braves. We'll get back into some more Braves talk here later on. But first, we want to get to some NFL conference title game questions for all four teams that are playing today, and they're playing right here on 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.